Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Man, there's a lot going on today. The Pac-12 meetings are right here in the Valley, getting started over at the Biltmore today. The future of Larry Scott, their commissioner, on the line. We're going to get into that in today's show. Tom Luganville will be with us today. Tommy, of course, ESPN college football analyst and head of their national recruiting site as well for ESPN. We'll talk to Tommy about Robert Kimdichie. He has seen Robert through the years. Tom and I have been going back and forth on this, so I'm looking forward to having Tom Luganville with us to talk about the Cardinals draft pick of Robert Kimdichie, and we'll get into that. Bruce Arians, I caught up with the coach yesterday getting ready for his annual fundraiser, and we sat and talked a little bit of football, a little bit about what he's doing off the field, kind of chilled, relaxed with Bruce Arians. It was a very nice event. Saw some of my guys, some of the TV guys. Had been a while. We were at Steak 44, so Coach and I will go one-on-one. We'll have that on today's show. Tomorrow, not to look too far ahead, Kevin Sumlin will be with us tomorrow because we want to talk further about this Brandon Williams pick by the Cardinals. So I'm in a fine mood today, too. I'm in a very fine mood. I saw last night a basketball game that was terrific. Why is it, guys, have you noticed this? Why is it that NBA basketball in December and January is unwatchable, but you get into May and man, oh man, is it good? I mean, it's just so good. That game last night with the Spurs and Thunder was the way the game should be played. Even the officiating in the final 10 seconds. Here you have just a terrific game and the officials screw it up one, two, three, four, five ways. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm in their spot, and Ken Maurer said this, the lead official, it's a play we've never seen before. And you've got, what, 18,000 people screaming at you, right on you. A fan grabs onto one of the Thunder players and doesn't let him back on. It just had everything. It was terrific. So we'll get into that in a second. I love the Leicester City story. I'm going to get in that in the Premier League. It's the equivalent of the Coyotes, of our own Arizona Coyotes winning a Stanley Cup championship. It is. Like this year winning. Like the coming season. The Coyotes win the Stanley Cup. That's what Leicester City just did. It's the ultimate underdog story in all of sport. And with soccer being the number one sport worldwide, you got to pay attention to that. The Diamondbacks are on the road tonight. I think this is a road trip that you don't want to sit here and say, oh, it's all together. This is it. They can't get their act in the next nine games. The season's over. Yeah, you can lose a season in May and all that stuff. No, this is really about Patrick Corbin tonight. Miami's not very good. They have one of the best bats in the game, Giancarlo Stanton. Shelby Miller's not been good. He gets away from here. He's going to pitch in Atlanta this weekend. Dave Stewart said in a SiriusXM interview that he's feeling the pressure that Shelby Miller is. So I'm interested to watch them tonight over on Fox Sports Arizona and to check them out on that. And then, of course, Space Jam 2 is out there. So we have plenty to get to. But let's get off and running at the end of the Spurs game last night. So we're going to bring you a clip here of how it finished, and Oklahoma City is leading 97-96. Okay, they're lead, or 98-97 rather. They're leading in this game, and here is how it went down in the final seconds. This is why the world is up in arms today. So Chris Webber goes crazy. Now, has Chris Webber been the best analyst? You saw the end of the game last night, right?
I did. Yeah, I watched the entire second half. Great game.
I thought Chris Webber was terrific.
I thought he was too.
And he's not. I usually don't feel that way about Chris Webber myself.
I agree with that sentiment also.
There's a few things there. So Ginobili's too close. He's supposed to give him 3 feet.
Of course he's too close.
Sure didn't look
like
3 feet. Right.
Just funny because of, yeah, it was an offensive foul, but just having the roles reversed and having the Spurs getting screwed at home,
yeah.
No less.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes these jokes just tell themselves.
and that's what I'm thinking, too. It's like, okay, the Spurs finally have something. Like all those years of being down in San Antonio, I went to all those series, and it was always something. There was always something that happened to the Suns. And because it's San Antonio and there's nothing going on in San Antonio other than the Spurs, they revel and party like nothing else. Because there is really no other sport down there that matters. I mean, the Cowboys are in Dallas and Spurs fans are into that. But
The reality of it all is the Spurs are still going to win this series. So
I don't know about that.
I do.
You know, Deion Waiters, did he push off? Did he use his elbow? Yes,
sure.
He did. Yes, he did. You don't see the fan grabbing the player. You know, that was part of it, too. A fan grabbed one of the players. I read it on, I think it was CBS this morning, that there were 8 different misses of certain degree on that final 10-second run. There was definitely a 5 count, if you go through that. Kent Maurer has a great reputation. I just feel like, guys, we can rip on refs all we want, but if you put yourself in that situation and you have the eye in the sky part of the deal too, where the last 2 minutes, the referees are graded on the last 2 minutes of a 5-point game. Calls for all games within 5 points at the 2-minute mark of regulation and an OT. They grade them. So imagine having that on your shoulders, okay, with 19,000, 20,000 people screaming down your throat, and you have one of the 3 guys say, it's a play we've never seen before. And everybody wants to everybody wants to rip on officials, and I get it. I absolutely get it. But who in their right mind would want to put themselves in that job day in and day out, where today Ken Maurer is not somebody that is just going unnoticed or not being talked about, that it's their fault. I thought the Thunder played better. If you just look at the game itself, the Thunder played a better basketball game. I don't know if I agree with you. It's fine if you think the Spurs are going to pull it out. Kevin Durant, Eric, can take over games.
And I don't want to twist the knife any deeper.
No, go ahead.
But
it's San Antonio. Knock
as a Suns
out.
Fan, and it, being in Phoenix, I'm just going to read you this little line score here. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge, 43 minutes.
Yeah.
15 of 21 from the field.
Yeah.
10 of 10 from the line.
He was really good.
41 points, 8 rebounds.
He was really
3
good.
Assists, 2 blocks, 0 turnovers. Just think about that.
Yeah.
41 points, didn't miss a free throw, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 0 turnovers.
No, you know, when you watch him,
you put that in a frame and hang it on your wall. Games like that, I know it's a loss, but I mean,
no, you put it on a banner in downtown Phoenix.
Oh, I knew you were going to go there.
Oh, is the banner up? Oh, he signed in San Antonio. Might want to check next time. Well, I'm not even going to talk about the Suns in this regard. I did see where Magic Johnson went on Twitter yesterday and was recruiting Kevin Durant and LeBron James. And I'm thinking, you know, is that a violation of league rules? Because Magic is like a consultant.
Something like that.
He probably doesn't
know any better. And if they find him, he probably wouldn't even care.
He wouldn't even care. Let me give you a Starbucks over here in Los Angeles.
There you go. Here's a strip mall.
Find me all
fully equipped with a fat burger and a Starbucks. Enjoy.
I'm thinking he could probably go to Kevin Durant himself. Durant is so much fun to watch. That's the thing. Those two teams, like the league office has to be hoping that the Warriors take care of Portland, because the numbers for if it's Spurs and Warriors or Thunder and Warriors are going to be great. The other side of the street, I could care less last night about Cleveland and Atlanta. I have a hard time getting into watching Atlanta. You know, the more interesting story was Space Jam 2 coming out yesterday. We'll get into that later in the show. Jeff Hornacek is in the news cycle today. So Jeff is going to interview for the Sacramento Kings job. It seems to me that as long as DeMarcus Cousins is there, that he is a coach killer. He is going to get a coach fired. There's always something going on with DeMarcus Cousins. Other than he has a cool nickname, he has run off coaches and he's managed to stay there. He found a way to get George Karl fired. And there will always be somebody that will say, I'm the guy that can get it figured out. Do I want to see Jeff back in the league coaching? Sure I do.
It's also his birthday today, by the way. So happy birthday, Jeff Hornacek.
I don't know if getting the Kings job is a good birthday
present. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either.
So he's in the news cycle today. The Diamondbacks, switching over on the baseball end of things, so they're two games out of first place today. We should all be excited. We should all be happy. They're just two games out of first place. I saw something about how April wasn't that big of a disappointment, that there are more positives than negatives. And when I see that, it's like, come on. You know, come on. Are you hearing yourself? Don't give me the standings. You should be better than mediocre. Really, you should be. There were some things that I liked in the first month of the season. Yeah, but here you go to Miami, who's a 500 at best team, but they have the biggest power hitter in all the game in Giancarlo Stanton. I'm looking forward to watching him. Then you go to Atlanta. They're not good at all. They're not good. And then you go to Colorado, a team that for whatever reason so far this season has kicked the Diamondbacks in the mouth twice that they've played each other in two series. So, you know, this nine-game setup for them starts out with some games that you look at and say, figure a way out here, guys. It's Miami on the road. There's not going to be any crowd there. There's not going to be a lot of people watching, probably. So that gets started today. Later in the show, so the Pac-12 expansion, or Big 12 expansion, I want to get into that, some college football. The Pac-12 meeting's going on here in the Valley. And at what point, if you're Greg Byrne or you're Ray Anderson, do you start looking out for yourself? You start looking out for your university more than looking at the conference. And I've got some thoughts on that as the Big 12 is looking to poach schools, whoever they may be. That's on the other side. Next, Tom Luganbill, though, ESPN College Football Analyst, National Recruiting Director. He has seen Robert Kimdichie since Kimdichie was 15 years of age. And Tommy, one of the best in the business with the SEC Network and ESPN. He's seen a lot of him, and also Jay Coker, too, the quarterback. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's go deeper now into the NFL draft around the Cardinals. And Tom Luganbill is with us now, National Recruiting Director at ESPN, and of course, sideline analyst, college football analyst, with ESPN as well. And you've seen Robert Kimdichie a ton on the high school end and on the college end, right?
I have a ton, yes.
And Tommy, what are we getting here in Arizona?
Well, you're getting a phenomenal physical specimen that really needs to get his focus placed on the things that matter and placed on football. And when I say that, I go back to this young man being 15 years old as a sophomore and evaluating him coming through the ranks in high school. And the thing that's so interesting about him is I honestly feel like the last time he really strived to be great was when he was in high school. And I think a lot of that had to do with his surroundings. I think it had to do with the leadership within his high school. In my opinion, seeing him, you know, matriculate through college, get around other people, I'm not so sure Robert Kimdichie put himself around the right people to maximize his ability level, because we're not talking about a first-round draft choice that is pretty talented but with red flags. We're talking about a first-round draft choice with top five overall pick ability that's had some red flags that need to be identified. So I think that's what's most concerning.
Is it his choice in people that you saw in college that he hung around him? He just didn't know how to say no?
Absolutely. I think that, and as we all talk about, as we raise our children and we, you know, we talk with young people, you know, be very careful about who you hang out with, what surroundings you're in, and then the choices that you make. Are you going to be a leader or are you going to be a follower? Mm-hmm. And not one time, Brad, did I ever experience Robert Kimdichie as a follower as we were tracking him through the recruiting process. Not one time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like to some degree he fell into that a little bit. And I do strongly believe that many of his off-the-field woes have come as a result of choices being made in terms of who he affiliated himself with. And if that can be remedied, I think he's got a tremendous future, because talent has never been the problem with him. When he wants to, when he's got his focus on the things that matter, there may not be a more dominant force in the NFL draft at his position.
Does he remind you of anybody, Tom? I mean, that's easy for us behind microphones and cameras to say he reminds me of this player and that player. But I think in this case, it really is a question that does apply because there is so much talent that has gone untapped, it sounds like. Has he got anybody that you compares to?
He has the same type of ability to take over a game and to dominate opponents one-on-one and to force teams to have to identify where he is at all times the same way that Ndamukong Suh did. The difference with Ndamukong Suh coming out was you saw it on a much more consistent basis. And, you know, we always hear coaches talk about having a great motor and are you playing with 93 octane? Do you take plays off? That's been a big question with Robert Kambici because when you see the best of him, there's nobody better. But then if he disappears for a play or two or a series, that's where you become concerned. And I think that's the difference between an Ndamukong Suh and a Robert Kambici, but there's very little difference in terms of ability level.
Talking with Tom Luganville, a couple other things I'll let you go. Jay Coker comes here as an undrafted free agent out of Alabama. He was behind Jameis Winston. You played the position. What are we getting here in Arizona?
Well, he's a young man that I will say has been very well schooled and well tutored in two offensive systems that lend very well to the National Football League level. And what I mean by that is right now, if you look across the landscape of college football and why quarterbacks are becoming such a difficult projection, nobody is being taught the game at the line of scrimmage. What I mean by that is diagnosing protections, diagnosing run versus pass looks, getting out of a bad play into a good play. All we're seeing is the shotgun, you raise your leg, you look to the sideline, the coach tells you where to go with the ball, and then you throw a bubble screen. With Jacob Coker, whether it was under Jimbo Fisher or under Lane Kiffin, he has been very well schooled on the little nuances of playing the position with a pro football mindset, and I think that's hard to come by. Does that mean he's going to succeed and he's going to have a long career, whether it be as a backup or a starter in the National Football League? I'm not ready to say that, but I am willing to say that he will be ahead of the curve on the theory of the game part of it, or maybe some highly drafted guys will be a bit behind the curve in that area.
That's interesting. Before I let you go, you're national recruiting director at ESPN, and you follow the high school scene. I know we're sitting here in early May. Can you make a thought on the coming year in Arizona or some of the players to keep an eye on out here that ESPN is looking at, you're looking at?
Well, I'll tell you, they've got a heck of a lot of big shoes to fill because when you look at the last couple of classes in the state of Arizona, it has been very, very good. But early on in the process, West Coast recruiting is in a little bit of a different phase and a different stage. I'm really impressed with some skill and some players within the trenches. I think you need to keep an eye on Austin Jackson at North Canyon. Ryan Kelly that's down in Basha, who I believe is a really exciting young player, has an opportunity at quarterback, maybe for the Oregon Ducks, who he's committed to finally get it right at quarterback out of the high school ranks since Marcus Mariota. But I mentioned the trenches. Caden Lyles out of Saguaro is another player that I like. And then you've got some athletic kids, some skill guys that stand out as well. And most notably, a kind of a jumbo athlete, Big Tyler Johnson out of Highland High School. I don't know where you're quite going to play him, whether it's going to be as a defensive end or a tight end, maybe a jumbo tailback sometime. But he's a really intriguing athlete at 6'4", 245 pounds.
Tom, as always, appreciate the visit. Thanks.
You bet. Thanks, man.
It's Tom Luganville with us, national recruiting director at ESPN. Covers the high school scene, college football analyst, sideline reporter as well, getting it all done. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Right, about 15 minutes, Bruce Arians and I yesterday sat down, talked about the Arians Foundation dinner that he has coming up and also some things around his team. That's coming up here in a few minutes, Bruce Arians. It's a big story here in the Valley and actually nationally. So the Pac-12 is started their meetings here in the Valley over at the Biltmore. They do their annual get-together. And this year's meetings have taken on, I think, an even more important role. For those of you that are big college football fans like myself, like Eric, and a lot of what we do here around the college scene, the Big 12 is talking about expansion this morning. That was a topic that came up. The Big 12 admitting that they need to look at expanding. Yeah, I don't know. If your conference is called the Big 12 and you only have 10 teams, come on. Come on. Is it really that hard? But here's the thing on this. The Pac-12 meetings are going to be all about how the Pac-12 network has not been able to get over the top. That's going to be part of it. The Pac-12 meetings are going to be about how the athletic director at UCLA, Dan Guerrero, decided to do his own thing when it came to satellite camp votes 2 weeks ago. There's going to be conversation about ESPN and Fox's television contract. How does it impact you? Well, there's going to be a lot of night games here in Arizona, whether you like it or not. We like seeing those 12:30 start times. We're not going to see them very much, or those 1:30 start times. It's all about can we find windows? And with UCLA and USC's programs, I think, in pretty good shape versus ASU and U of A's, both transition years, especially at ASU, I think they're going to have a lot of night games. Beyond that, it's is there a real belief in the leadership by Larry Scott? We happen to like having Larry Scott with us since day one of this company. He has been somebody that has been nothing but available and an encourager. He has seen my vision on digital. And whenever we've needed to have him or bounce things off of him, he's been great. But the facts are, the Pac-12 network, you can't sit here and joke about it, that every time the conversation comes up, it's we're trying to get it through. And when the Big Ten network is going to start getting north of $40 million per school, and the SEC network is getting $37 million per school, and they'll pass the Big Ten network eventually. They'll just go right past them once the Big Ten deal gets put in place. Where's the Pac-12 in all this? We have what they call the Power Five conferences. And I have to look at here in our state and look at television markets and look at things that you really don't care about on one hand, but you should, and here's why. If you're in the Pac-10, Pac-12 as it's grown, Pac-8 way back in the day, they continue to take on teams. Well, if the Big 12 is actually going to add a couple of more schools, we could go all over the place as to who those schools are going to be. And the Pac-12 is not seeing the same amount of revenue as the Big 10 or as the SEC conference. The Pac-12 has not had a team in the Final Four since, gosh, it's been a long time. Long time in basketball. On the football end of things, you know, Stanford has shown they can go about. Stanford's the model program of the Pac-12. It's not Oregon, it's Stanford. Here's a school that supposedly has all these academic restrictions. I mean, they do to one regard, but on the other hand, they can find ways to get players in. The Pac-12 presidents are all about how great we are, and we have this network here, and my understanding is the president at Arizona State, Michael Crow, is having a big hand, big role in the programming of the Pac-12 network, which, from my point of view, is not very desirable. That's the only way to put it. And no offense to some of the minor sports. My kids, my daughter's a girls soccer player. You can't put that on at 8 o'clock at night and charge a fee and expect people to watch. I'm going to watch because I know some of the girls in that team. That's me. Most of you are not going to watch. You're not going to watch the softball program. You might watch swimming if you know somebody in there, but when I see that network and how they don't want to make football the emphasis in a football-centric society, or their basketball games start at oddball times to try to fit the windows that are available to them, I just don't think that the way that network's been run has been smart. Plain and simple. And so they're having distribution problems. You get your bill, you get your cable bill, and you are being charged something for the Pac-12 network. And by and large, it should not be the History Channel. You should not be watching games all the time from years gone by. You need to have original, fresh content. And they don't have that. So the network itself has been a bit of a problem. But here's the bigger issue. If you're Ray Anderson and you're Greg Byrne, and Greg's coming in studio with us. Is it next week, Eric? I think it is. Yeah, it's next week. at some point, you can't just look out for the conference. Now, you'll say publicly you are looking out for the conference. That's what you have to say. But at some point, these schools are going to have to start looking out for themselves. If I'm Arizona State or I'm U of A, and I'm in a Pac-12 conference that's really not getting it done from a revenue standpoint, and yet I'm seeing the numbers and the money being shared with schools like Washington State or Oregon State, what sense does that make? If I'm UCLA or USC, why am I sharing monies with Arizona State or Arizona television market size? I got to worry about my own. And maybe that's where Dan Guerrero said, I'm not voting on the satellite camp thing. I'm going to go do my own thing no matter what the commissioner wants me to do. I'm going to go do something that sends a message very loudly that we are not, at least UCLA, not in agreement with who we have running the show here. So this is going on right here in our own backyard this week. Big story. On the Big 12 end of things, I don't know. When I look at the Pac-12, have the additions of Utah and Colorado really turned the conference upside down? Denver's a desirable market. I get it. But you know what? If they left tomorrow, I don't think I'd really roll my eyes. And is it being a part of a network really that big of a deal? Let's take Texas, for instance. Supposedly, when the Longhorn Network was started, well, my gosh, it's a game changer. They are going to dominate. They have their own network. They're so good. Or BYU's network. Okay, has it impacted college football in a way where the basketball program at Texas or the football program at Texas are juggernauts? No.
BYU has their own network?
Exactly.
No, I'm serious. They do?
Yeah, BYU TV.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah. It's like channel, I don't know. I've watched games on there. BYU TV.
Another channel probably on DirecTV that I don't get.
Along
with the Pac-12 Network and the Longhorn Network and other networks that I'd actually like to watch.
My point is, when we hear all this stuff about, well, we have our own network, we've got it all figured out. No, you don't. Well, really, what's the Longhorn Network done to benefit Texas?
And it's a grind on all the people at Texas and all the coaches at Texas because
you have
to put so much time and effort.
Yep.
If you're the only one that's dumping all the content into that 24/7 network, it's good. I mean, yeah, of course they bring in a ton of revenue, but even before
they
had the Longhorn Network, they brought in a ton of revenue, and no, it hasn't helped them.
Plus, Eric, I don't know if I'm Big Cigar at Texas. Well, you guys started this network, and you know our football team hasn't really won. And you brought in Steve Patterson as the athletic director, and he was charging me $25 to go walk out onto the field. That wasn't a very smart move. And, you know, you brought in Charlie Strong to run the football program. We've been kind of mediocre. So, really, guys at Texas, do you have it all figured out? If I'm in the SEC network, am I looking out for, I'm Alabama, at some point as we are growing through this Power Five, which eventually is going to become Power Four, which eventually, as we know, college football. Like if I would have told you 20 years ago when you were at TCU, sorry to date you, but if I would have told you 20 years ago when you're at TCU, you're going to be part of the Big 12 and you're going to have your own network that you're a part of, there's no way you would have believed me. And that your football program would be playing for national titles.
I would have told you I've got some great beachfront property in Yuma to sell you.
Okay, so
let me know.
So just to look at how the landscape has changed in college football. Eventually, if I'm Alabama, I'm going to look around and say, why am I helping out Vanderbilt? Why am I helping out Missouri? What am I to gain from helping out these schools? I'm Alabama. I could go run the Alabama network rather than the SEC network. I've got Nick Saban. I've got a brand here. And so I'm looking at the landscape of college sports across the board. And this is the time of year where there's always change. And now the Big 12, Bob Bowlesby has admitted, they've actually had to do, Eric, this is the best part of the story. Did you see this? That they had to do research to determine that it would probably be in their best interest to go to 12 schools. Like, I swear I should be a consultant. Those who can do, those who can't consult. You make great money. And you know what? Your name's the Big 12, and our research shows you only have 10 schools.
Right.
It might be smart if you went to 12 schools.
Much like the Big Ten, who has far more schools than 10.
Bingo. And here's $1.7 million for your time. Thank you very much for playing, you know? Because what we're seeing now is conferences that have changed to where they make no sense. When I see and hear that Gonzaga is trying to join the Big East in basketball, okay, that is one of the moves that is afoot. And that Grand Canyon would be the school that would go into the West Coast Conference if Gonzaga ends up going to the Big East. And I'm thinking to myself, how's that travel budget going to work out for Georgetown playing at Gonzaga?
And if you're a prospective student athlete,
yeah,
and you're being recruited to Gonzaga, and you think to yourself, wow, we have to go to D.C., New York City, Marquette. Like, none of these schools, every road trip is going to be like
a road trip.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to leave for a week. I mean, you're not going to leave for 3 days.
Athlete. Come on, what are you talking about? You can't miss school. What are you talking about?
Online classes. You're right. You're right.
What are you talking? But in the Pac-12, if you're Ray Anderson, my point is, we're getting close to a tipping point where these universities themselves, like ASU wants to be the Harvard of the West. They'll tell people they're the Harvard of the West. I think there's some really good momentum going on at Arizona State academically. I think athletically they're going through change right now. That's the only way to put it. At some point, could Arizona State say, well, you know what? We're just going to go create the Arizona State channel. We're going to go create the Sun Devil channel, just like the Longhorn Network. And we're going to go control our own content. It hasn't worked out for Texas, but you can't tell me that if the Oregon Ducks, with Nike as their main guy, if Oregon said, you know what, we're breaking out of this Pac-12 network thing because this hasn't worked. We're creating the Duck Network or OU or Webfoot or whatever you want to call it. We're going to go create our own channel. And this will come back on you. That's why I'm on a rant about this today about it. You would have to pay more to have access to the content that you like to see. Yeah, you may be able to watch all the games. Does it really benefit you, though? And if the conference starts to become a bunch of 12 different corporations on 12 different islands, rather than, no, for the betterment of everybody, we are working together. When Dan Guerrero was sitting there with the vote in hand about satellite camps, and he went against the rest of the conference. Well, I'm thinking these meetings here at the Biltmore this week are not going to go very well. John Wilner, who we had on here a couple of weeks ago, is one of the best in the business. Speculated that there could be some stuff about the future of Larry Scott coming out of these meetings. And will Larry Scott apologize to Dan Guerrero? Will it become a public matter? Will Larry Scott and athletic directors talk about this issue? Will they all take the high road? Or will they go after one another? How much complaining are we going to get out of coaches about start times of games? Sean Miller's on that rant every year. On the football end of things, how much are we going to hear complaining from Rich Rod? And how big of a voice does he have in the room? And Todd Graham about issues of satellite camps. And I really believe Arizona and Arizona State are sitting out here on a bit of an island when it comes to start times and the partnerships with ESPN and Fox. And when we get the update on what's going on with the Pac-12 network, are they going to be jumping up and down for joy saying, that's great, I'm going to go tell my recruit we don't have a deal done yet, and we're going to do our game on the Pac-12 network and nobody's going to see it.
Is that losing money? Do you think? If you had to guess, is the Pac-12 network,
well, I don't know,
making money or losing money?
You know, I don't know. I couldn't give you a good answer on that. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go to the Biltmore tomorrow.
Because they're not getting the marquee games for football.
No.
And as you mentioned, for college basketball, the games are starting on random days, random times.
There's no rhyme or reason to the network. And when I have it, you don't. So I will watch it. I'll flip by there. When it's not football season, I'm not on it. You know, the other night I watched some of ASU baseball for about an inning and a half.
Which is fine. I like college baseball.
It's fine.
It's fine. That's all it is. It's fine.
But even the production value of it, when you don't have announcers at the ballpark, when they're sitting in a booth calling a game, you can tell. They may, and yeah, I'm in the business and most people don't. Well, guess what? It just sends the message that we're trying to do this thing on baling wire and string and tin cans. And that's not how you run a network. And I've also been told that part of their programming stuff is everything's got to be, we're the greatest, we're this, we're that. And that there's no room for debate. There's no room for shows of content that have to do with how about the matchup, and let's break it down a little bit, versus some smiling faces showing a couple of highlights, sticking some commercials in and calling it a day. There's nothing unique about it. So it's just wallpaper. And that may be fine for people within the walls at athletic departments, but that doesn't work in this day and age of consumption. You have to have some things that move the needle. Doesn't mean it has to be controversial all the time. You don't have to have two guys sitting there arguing about who's going to win between Oregon and Stanford, but there's just different ways to go about it. And they've given this thing a long, long rope and it's done nothing. It's a flat line. We like going up there and touring it, but it's nothing. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We are back on the other side. Stay with us. Bruce Arians in about 10 minutes. Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, I think Isaiah Thomas. I'm thinking of names of guys that should be in Space Jam 2. The Hollywood Reporter came out yesterday that LeBron is going to star in this. Now, LeBron's people, was it Brian Windhorst? This is how tight Brian Windhorst is with LeBron James's people. And Brian's mom was LeBron's teacher in high school. So that's how far back they go. Do you know that, E?
I did. Story? Just recently, though, I heard that. I didn't know that a year ago, but I heard that. It's pretty interesting.
So Windhorst had to go out and tweet that they have not signed anything yet, but that this is going to happen, LeBron James and Space Jam 2. Now, I got home last night from work, and the first thing that my 20-year-old daughter just back from college asked me is, are you going to go to the junket for Space Jam 2?
Of course.
When does that movie come out? And I said, well, if I go, the only autograph I want is Bugs Bunny's, but that's just me. So it's already on a millennial's radar screen. Remakes of movies usually don't go well, right? They are usually not very good. I've seen Space Jam a few times since. It's one of those that just kind of shows up and you get stuck there. It's just kind of like, it's not like Bourne. I mean, when Bourne shows up, I'm leaning forward. Space Jam shows up, I'm in my fat pants. I'm just like laid out like Jabba the Hutt. It's fine. It's great for kids. And it's kind of fun for adults. You know, who should be in this movie? If you think back on the Michael Jordan movie, it was Sean Bradley. So you had this 7'6". I interviewed him once on a ladder, which was just one of the things, and I'm 6'8".
Heard he's a good guy.
Yeah. Larry Johnson was a nice guy at UNLV. Yep. Muggsy Bogues, he was on that Barkley and Friends cruise that we went on. Good guy. Charles, Patrick Ewing. So who are some of the people that you'd want to see that are in the NBA right now? So NBA Entertainment would probably force Carmelo Anthony down our throats, and I would just want to puke all over my shoes.
Yeah, that's your guy.
Just not into him.
Kevin Durant, I would guess, would be a part of this.
I would think Russell Westbrook.
Both very popular with younger audiences, though.
You need a guard, right? I mean, if you go through the makeup of the team, now if Durant goes, let's say Durant goes to the Lakers, now you got L.A., that's why Blake Griffin would be part of this.
Yep.
And Chris Paul. And I'm not big on Blake Griffin. I'm not a Blake Griffin guy.
But it's L.A., like you said.
Yeah, Chris Paul will be in this movie. Forget it. Chris Paul, when people said, why is Chris Paul leaving New Orleans for L.A.? Because he's leaving New Orleans. He's going to get opportunities like Space Jam 2.
D-Wade?
End of the career. Kobe Bryant?
No.
Really? You don't think there's something there? The guy coming out of retirement.
Maybe.
You know? Laying on a beach, there's a scene somewhere there where they pull him out and say, you know, come off the beach in La Jolla instead of La Jolla.
You could do that.
It's a Bugs Bunny line. Skylar Diggins. So you have to think of the WNBA in this.
For sure.
Deladon.
for sure.
Yeah, you got to think of the girls that are beautiful that can play the game. That's just what we're talking about here.
You're two for two on that.
Here's one that will drive Suns fans crazy, but I think it's a no-brainer. If you had Muggsy Bogues in the movie, then you probably should have Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics.
It's funny, when you said Isaiah Thomas the first time, that wasn't the Isaiah Thomas that popped into my brain. I thought to myself, wow, Isaiah Thomas.
He's old.
That's an odd mix. And then, duh.
But if you've got a guy that's tiny, right? Give me another tiny player. Tony Parker? Do you have to have Steph Curry? I mean, Steph Curry's
tiny.
Good
one. Yeah, Steph Curry.
But Isaiah Thomas, a little bit edgy. Steph Curry, kind of relaxed.
You need a different blend of characters. Like, look at the initial group. Sean Bradley, very tall. Muggsy Bogues, very short.
Right.
Larry Johnson, very strong. Charles Barkley, very outspoken. I mean, and at that time, probably very round.
Was it Circumference? That was his nickname. Peter Vesey gave him that one. Circumference. Zach LaVine. Okay, so if we're talking about somebody that could dunk in a cartoon, and you could do some pretty cool things with Zach LaVine.
He is the best dunker.
No, he is. He is. So you could throw him off of stuff. So that caught my eye, is that this is going to come out. There's some people that don't like LeBron, but deal with it. Most people do. And he transcends. He's Michael Jordan. He wears number 23. He wants to do the remake of the movie. It's time to make the Does Jordan show up in the movie?
Sure. Has to.
Do you have a bunch of the guys from the first one show up in the movie? Let's say Charles shows up in the movie.
He would make sense.
Yeah.
I don't think Patrick Ewing making another appearance would really like bring a lot of eyeballs, but
I feel, well, if he coaches for the Knicks, so there's been talk about Patrick Ewing coaching for the Knicks, right? Even though Rambis is there now. Patrick Ewing is still a very large man, very, very large, big presence. And he fits our demo. You know, a 40-year-old's going to go watch him. A 50-year-old's going to go watch him. They've got everybody in this movie. I guess you could just go so crazy with this, but it's out there.
I want it to happen. Now you've piqued my interest on this. I hope this. I follow Brian Windhorst on Twitter, so hopefully he'll have the big breaking report on that.
And the other story is Leicester City. So the Premier League champions, you can now go to the Coyotes and say, are you going to be doing a Leicester this year? You can go to, I wouldn't say the Diamondbacks. You could say the Suns. I suppose you could say the Suns doing a Leicester. Leicester City did something that if you haven't paid attention to it, they've been in existence for 132 years, the soccer club. 132 years, the Premier League, that's the top of the top of the top. And they end up becoming the champions. They were 5,000-1. There's a deal there, right there, Eric. You're a betting man. 5,000-1.
Wow, $5 would have made you very happy.
So they win this whole thing. I mean, what a great story. It's an absolutely great story for sports. And it's something that you can tell. It doesn't matter if it's on the pitch, on the court, on the field, on the diamond. You can now point to Leicester City and say, guys, anything is possible. Even a team that hadn't won jack in 132 years. Tonight, we have Portland to Golden State, by the way. Sports360AZ.com. Bruce Arians on the other side, and we'll continue on. Stay with us. So Sunday, May 22nd, here at Steak 44, we've got some food here. Here's Bruce. Coach comes on in. This is the charity event of charity events that the Arians Foundation puts together. And it's good to see you, Bruce, but first and foremost, they said that this is your favorite, and this is going to be at your event, right?
It's a grilled cheese meatball sandwich.
You can dig in while we're talking.
I'm stuck right now because I'm on a no-carb diet.
Get out of here. Coach is on a no-carb diet?
Yeah, and this is killing me right now.
Well, I won't touch
ahead.
It. No. The event, so there's going to be plenty of this.
Plenty of this, plenty of steak. Gosh, the Maestro's, Jeff has been so great, Oliver. Of giving us the restaurant for this event. The food is fabulous. Mm-hmm. Cocktails, it's a great time. Each table has a player or a coach, and you get to grill him for an hour.
Hmm.
And
no escape.
Get all the questions you want answered.
Sunday, May 22nd. You do a lot within the community, the golf tournament, this event. Some coaches go underground and disappear. Why this?
I feel it's our job. This is as important to me as winning a Super Bowl. I watched my wife save children as a CASA one at a time for over 17 years. And once we got this platform, it meant so much to me to honor what she has done. And our need in the Valley is so great. We have over 17,000 children in foster care and only 1,000 CASAs. We need to raise that level of CASAs and drop that number of children.
Mm-hmm. This isn't just something where you roll in from what I see. I've seen charity events through the years.
No.
You're all in on this, you and the family.
Yeah, this is. I've watched her do this for so long. And there's a young lady here, April, was one of her CASA children in Pittsburgh. And to see her grow up and have a future, it means the world.
Your off season, how would you describe it?
It really isn't one. You know, we had 2 weeks after the season and start all over again. And, you know, we've had our players in for 2 weeks. We're on the field today, and there's an unbelievable sense of purpose in what we're doing in the building right now. Just we've always worked hard, but I've been extremely impressed with the purpose in which we're working right now.
What do you like most about your team here in the off season?
Just their sense of purpose. We've got a really good football team coming back.
Sure.
We just added some really good pieces to the puzzle. And I'm anxious to see the rookie minicamp. We got a bunch of free agents and a bunch of tryout guys. And those guys have made our team in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know which one it is. You don't know what rookie is going to help you get to the playoffs, win a playoff game, win a Super Bowl. And to watch our veterans, we don't haze our guys. There's nothing like that at the Cardinals, because their job is to make sure they're ready to help us win.
What concerns you about your team right now? Getting guys signed?
That's
that'll
so easy.
Take care of itself.
Yeah, so easy now, you know. Yeah. It's not like the old days where guys will hold out, you know, everything's slotted. So that part's gotten easier. I think right now it's just off-season injuries.
Yeah.
You know, the freaky things that have happened in the past were non-contact injury and you lose somebody. And, you know, you have to get your work in. You have to be smart and just keep your fingers crossed nobody gets hurt.
Carson's off season. Fans ask all over the place, how's he doing, the way the season ended. What can you say about your quarterback?
Oh, the most resilient guy I've ever been around. That game was over for him in a week. Mm-hmm. Now, the rest of us, it takes longer. But he was dead set on going back to work, getting ready. Anybody that thinks there's going to be a hangover effect, that's not Carson Palmer.
Kim Dichie, so much conjecture about a draft pick. And in this day and age, it was social media. I think you could pick apart probably, oh, wait, look out. You got one coming in here for you.
Oh, there you go. Thank you, Jeff.
What do we have here? Is this your?
That's my bone-in ribeye, but it doesn't get any better than that.
And you can't touch that one?
I can eat all of that.
We can get him some silverware over here, and we can make this work.
It's all right.
And this will all be served at the event.
Everything at the event, and like I said, the chef has done an unbelievable job, mm-hmm. and Oliver and Jeff Mastro, can't thank them enough for giving us this.
Let's go back on Kim Dichie. So with everything that's gone on in this day and age of social media and what's written and picking somebody apart, what'd you tell the young man when you drafted him?
Just be yourself. You know, all our research was done in the last 2 months, and he had a bad night. He admitted to it,
mm-hmm.
Walked us through what happened. We were convinced it's not who he is. It was what happened. And you learn from all young student athletes, high school and college. You make decisions, there's consequences. And you know, that's he paid for the consequences, but we feel very good. We're very lucky in that our owner is a prosecutor.
Yeah.
And he knows what BS looks like. And he was very, very, very comfortable with Robert.
When you see the tape of him, I know they show the offensive touchdown last year. You got any of that in your coach with him?
Oh, God, yeah. He'll be in our goal line package. I mean, he was a premier high school running back,
sure.
punt returner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just an ungodly athlete. And you know, he's going to be able to be a dynamite player for us for a long time.
Before we get out of here, because I know this is talking to you a little bit, if people come to the event, what are they going to get out of it?
I think a great social night, fun.
know that they have helped children in the Valley. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about saving and helping children here in the Valley. And killing me.
It just keeps rolling in here, Bruce.
Come get all this and enjoy a great night of fellowship and know that you're helping a great cause.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.